Wake up with the Big Breakfast, weekdays from 5:30.
Today on the catch-up, Prince Charles calls in to let us know all about his father's reckless driving escapades.
We also talked about tradies not getting paid and the revenge they can wreak. It's absolute havoc.
And you blokes got totally ridiculous about Dancing with the Stars and the new lineup. Honestly, disgraceful behaviour.
The son of the Queen, one of our best friends on the show, Prince Charles. How do you do, sir?
Hello to you, Marta. Hello to you, Robin Bailey, and of course, Nick Cady. Welcome aboard.
Thank God you
replaced the Moon Man, one of the loosest units in the Commonwealth, I'm afraid. Hello to you, young Brendo.
Hello, sir.
Even looser.
No more of your mentions of Scott Morrison pooping his dacks at the Engadine McDonald's in 1997.
Okay. Since the Moon Man left, we haven't mentioned
that. Except right now, surprisingly.
It's like me and the Moon Man have something in common.
Amazing. Talking of loose units, Duke of Edinburgh, your dad, still driving?
He is driving, Robin Bailey, and no one can stop him. Only Her Majesty, my mother, Queen Elizabeth II, can stop him. He's unlicensed, unregistered, and off he goes in a Land Rover. And, of course, she's insisting that he goes out more and more because she's got him in the Palace Deadpool and is hoping that he actually has a fatal accident. Stupid old goat that he is. No, he's had a rollover, and, of course, he injured another royal subject in that crash, and then he was found on the estate unrestrained. So there's no stopping him at 97.
The name of the girl, Emma Fairweather, I saw her on TV yesterday. She was injured, might be suing. Will the palace be compensating her?
Well, absolutely not. We're not accepting liability, Marto, because we don't want to interfere with our RACQ insurance. No claim bonus. And we really do. RACQ insures the palace. I probably know that. But Emma Fairweather, she broke her wrist. Now, if she wants an apology from His Royal Highness Prince Philip, then she can just damn well get in line behind all of Africa's people, Britain's women, Indigenous Australians, and Elton John. I mean,
has he insulted Elton John?
Insulted Elton John. I made some kind of homophobic remark. Oh. My father did anyway.
Okay. Finally, the royal family haven't had a great track record on the road. You have to admit that.
Well, no. Emma Fairweather, she's got a broken wrist. I mean, Mummy, you know, topped my wife in a tunnel. we know how to organise a car accident.
Yes, we know. Okay.
On that note,
we've missed you.
Thank you, Prince.
Don't you wind me up, Brendo. I'll come down here over there and take her head off. Anyway, lovely to speak to you. Good on you, bye now.
Bye.
Love to Camilla.
I'm going to get beheaded. That's why we end up there.
Big Breakfast on Triple M.
They say money makes the world go round. Show me the money. Well, unless you're a flat earther, then you've got a whole lot of other issues going on.
Make money, money, make money, money, money.
Win $1 million with Triple M's Millionaire Listener.
Yeah, I'm living life in the fast lane.
The Big Breakfast with Marto, Robin and Nick Cody in the morning. And $1 million while you're at work. 104.5 Triple M.
Nick Cody, we're getting used to knowing you. We were trying to get to know you over the last week or so, but you need to know something about me and my building background.
Yes.
I always bring up these stories, and this story is from England. It's a bloke who is disgruntled. He hadn't been paid, but he drove a small excavator, like just a, I think it'd be a one-ton excavator. It was only about 1,800 mil wide on the tracks, but it had running on tracks. He goes up a set of stairs. He hadn't been paid, and this is what happens in the building business. If people don't pay you, you're able to get revenge on them.
Because you have big machines.
So what did he do? He drove it up to the front door and he went inside and said, pay my invoice.
No, he didn't just walk. Oh. He jumped in his little excavator, drove up the front, used the bucket to walk himself up the stairs, then just busted straight through this building they just finished completing, straight through the glass windows, then started also ripping the ceiling out, ripping any partition walls inside.
What a brain snap.
They reckon he might have done £40,000 or £50,000 worth of damage, and he was only owed £600, which is about $1,000. Here's some noise of the guy getting revenge for not being paid.
Oh, God. Oh,
It was good. So it went for 3 minutes. I can't play the whole lot. There was just a lot of devastation. And then he jumped out of the cab and yelled out this. That's what happens to people who don't pay their wages, mate.
Yeah, it was in England.
Okay. What I want to do, perfect. I want to show you, Nick, the people who are driving to work, they're about to get out of their utes and trucks and get into a building site. But what happens in the real world of building, if ever I can show you, 133353, what you do when you don't get paid. There's sometimes people take saunas, sometimes people take whole pools. You go
taking
and remove the stuff if the builder doesn't want to pay you. Now, I'm a builder, but I always paid. I always looked over everyone. But if you don't.
Surely instead of taking a pool, it's just easier to fill it in.
You would think.
There's often if plumbers will sometimes, and I'm not saying all of them, but if they don't get paid, they will go over, open up your inspection outlet and put concrete in there.
Right, that's the sort of creative revenge we want.
That's what happens.
It was a travel business, wasn't it? Travel World or something, and it was all glass.
Just finished it all, and in he goes, and
He's fixed up the hotel, and then he's knocked it down. But hey, Marto, you're going to love this. I'm just reading here. He claimed his wages had not been deposited into his account on Friday.
Yeah.
However, co-workers alleged that there had been a glitch and the money did not arrive until Monday morning. So
what? He didn't check. Nafty.
I say this because I love revenge stories. One of the greatest is a house-lifting friend of mine. A woman owed him $12,000. He went over there on the Friday, and I've told this story before. He went out to the car and she said, no, I'm not paying you. For no reason, the job was well done. Went and got the chainsaw and started chopping the stumps that he'd put in, started putting them through it. You ready to pay? You ready to pay now? He spent a little bit of time inside.
Hey, Marto, that's definitely gonna drop the value of the property, isn't it? Am I right, guys? Here we go.
Okay, Jay of Thornlands, have you got any good revenge stories for not getting paid?
Yeah, we just got a simple rule. I'm a fencer, so you don't pay. I turn up a little bit later with a chainsaw, cut it down, and leave it there because obviously the next boat that comes along knows there's been an issue. So you still leave the post in the ground, but I've only done it once.
And what happened?
Word gets out, Jay.
But I'll tell you what, never got a phone call back from him. He wouldn't answer my calls when you're chasing the money. And it's too hard. I don't know, Marto might know, but it's too hard to do it legally. It's too hard to get, a couple of grand or whatever,
Yeah.
Okay. Satisfaction.
My sister used to run a funeral parlor. I don't know if I've told this story before.
No.
For 32 years.
You didn't pay or brought him back from the dead.
Can you imagine? There's nothing worse.
Cop that.
What are you going to do?
What do you do?
You send bikies in.
Oh,
that's good.
Bikies also do debt collecting.
I bet they do.
What?
Well, that's just going to cause more funerals that they're not going to pay for.
Brendan of River Hills, what happened? Revenge.
I've only ever had to do it once, but it worked very well. Yep. I had a customer that never paid me for removing some trees for him, and he stuffed me around for ages. So what I did was I waited till he finished his work and got home and then dumped a full load of truckload of logs and mulch in his driveway so he couldn't get back out to go to his work.
You gave him a whole bunch of firewood and mulch for his yard. Showed him. You got him back.
It was the crappiest mulch and stumps that I could find.
Nice.
That's great.
The big breakfast on Triple M.
Channel 10 are revamping Dancing with the Stars. They're bringing it back with host Grant Denyer and Amanda Keller, which I'm really excited about. Amanda is one cool person.
She's a beautiful person.
She's a really nice lady.
Has it been rested for a while?
Yes, it has.
Right.
It wasn't rating the last time they put it on.
So why do they think they can get it reignited?
Well, maybe new host. People like familiar and they've had some time to want it again. So they're going back in. And let's face it, The Bachelor...
Who was the person that killed it? Like, who was the celebrity that just went...
No, you know what? I think they did exactly the same thing to Dancing that they did with Bachelor, which is they put it back to back and people got fatigued.
Aha.
So anyway, they've announced some of the people. Well, 10 haven't announced, but it's been leaked. There was a photo shoot and all the people who are supposed to be the dancers all got together. So they all kind of met each other. Mm-hmm. Some interesting people. Olympia Valance from Neighbours. She's joined the cast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mummy blogger Constance Hall.
Don't know. Is that a him or her?
No, it's a her. Mm-hmm. Mummy blogger.
Mummy blogger.
Mummy blogger.
Where does that come into parenthood? It's good to spend time with your children, which is why I'm going to go dance on the telly for ages.
Leave her alone. Lots of people go to work. Anyway,
we're none from two at this stage. Who else you got?
Kirtley Ambrose.
Driver, right?
Hold on. Kirtley Ambrose,
yeah,
the great West Indian pace bowler.
Yeah.
Oh.
He took 7 wickets at the Adelaide Oval one day for 7 for 23 or something or other. He's a sensation. He's about 6'8" tall.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, he'll have to have a tall.
And little Kirtley's quite big, apparently. So he'll wear tight pants. That'll get the chicks going because a friend of mine was with him.
Apparently. Yeah, sure.
You reckon little Kirtley's bigger than Denya?
Just in
All of Denya.
If
you put Grant Denya down your pants, would there be a bowl?
Stop talking about that.
That looks like little Kirtley.
Stop it.
Let's have a measure.
No. Michelle Bridges.
Big Grant little. What? Michelle Bridges?
Yeah, Michelle Bridges is going.
God,
Samuel Johnson is going in to earn money for Love Your Sister because he does all that stuff.
Oh, good on him.
He's lovely. The Living Room's Miguel is going in. Studio 10's Denise Scott. But the one, Jet Kenny. You like Jet Kenny.
Oh, my God. Have you seen him? Honestly, if I had to turn, that's the bloke.
Now,
I know his grandfather, Hayden, very well, and Grant.
Of course I've kept it.
Jet Kenny. Check him out, everyone. When you get to work, check out Jet Kenny without a shirt on.
Can you imagine all these guys?
I just Googled him. Yeah. I just Googled him. I'm with you, Marto.
Yeah, thank you.
Tools down, guys. Let's have a look at Jet Kenny.
Hey, and let's pick his one up. Marto said you've got to have a look at Jet Kenny without a shirt on. Sorry, where?
And the last one, which is the person I actually wanted to talk about, was Cassandra Thornburn. Do we all know who Cassandra Thornburn is?
Author?
Yes, you do. No, she is the ex-wife of Carl Stefanovic.
Oh, dear.
Oh, this drives me nuts. Like, every time those two, when I get it that you separated I understand that you don't love each other anymore.
You know
just
it's going to happen.
Stop talking. Like,
she's going to get it on with Kirtley, and Carl is going to be so annoyed. You've been with Kirtley Ambrose. Oh, what have I got? A Yasmin. That's all I've got. Anyway.
What have I got? A Yasmin. Like they're trading cards. I'll swap your Kirtley for me Yasmin.
Have you got a Grant?
No, I've got a little Kirtley.
Oh, that's bigger than a Grant. Hey, I'll give you a little history lesson. You know how I love doing that.
Yes.
Many years ago, Nick, you understand State of Origin football. Do you know why it existed?
No.
Pre-1980, all our best footballers, because all the pokies were held by all the clubs down in New South Wales, they had lots of money. So our clubs up here had no money. They made their money by sausage sizzles.
Because we didn't have pokies.
And canteens. We didn't have pokies.
When did we get pokies?
Can you look that up while I talk? But
yes,
keep listening if you can.
No worries. I can multitask, surprisingly.
Well, what happened? Because we got sick. All our best rugby league players would go to Sydney. Then they pick them in the New South Wales team. And then they go, you want to have a game? Yeah, righto. So we have all our little club footy players. They'd have all our best anyway, playing against Queenslanders and they were counting them as New South Welshmen. That's when they said, listen, tell you something. Why don't we get all the people born in Queensland and we'll pick them for Queensland and we'll do your ass? And we did. And it was soon after that it didn't matter anymore because we got pokies in what year?
Wayne Goss brought them in February 1992.
Not until 92.
There you go.
Oh, my God. Well, now they've gone crazy because as of last night, and this is so I've grown up for my first years going to pubs and clubs, no pokies. The world was a heavenly place. Mm. Now listen to this figure.
Last year, Queenslanders lost more than $2.36 billion on poker machines, the highest amount on record.
That's a lot of money.
Yes, Nick, what was that?
But who won? Where are those figures? You know what I mean? A few major jackpots going off here and there.
It doesn't justify. That is so much money that we're all spending.
It does ruin the vibe of a pub, you know what I mean? You just go down to the pub, you're just looking for a few beers, and all of a sudden, it's just...
Excuse me, why? That's your phone. Why
That's
have you got those noises?
Ring. Is that
it's
your
my
phone?
Ringtone, mate. I'm a bogan. All right, I'm sorry.
If I ring you, that's your ringtone. That's brilliant.
Okay, but let me just pose this question, right?
They should be gone altogether.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. The amount of revenue that is gained, as we've just learned from the Queensland government, but the only thing I would say is that there are people who have problem gambling and that is an issue. But there are a lot of people that just go with their $5 or $10 on a Saturday night, go and have a steak at the pub, wander into the pokies, have a bit of entertainment and then wander home.
I hate that too because sometimes that's Kath will do that occasionally, and want, you know, and I'll go,
yeah, but she's not a gambler. She doesn't.
No.
Right.
But so, I'll lose her for half an hour.
Oh, and then she goes, poor little Didem says the man can't do it. Oh, no, no,
have you lost her, or is she trying to lose you? You know, it depends how you frame it.
And the other thing is
but it's the people who can't afford the money
okay,
that are betting
it. And I understand that, and there are issues around that. But the only other thing I'd say is that all those little sporting clubs and so on who get, I think, I'm just Googling now, 92 million they gained from pokey stuff.
No, well, bugger it, because they're virtually stealing money. So that $2.3 billion, that money exists. Why don't we get it out of people some other way? Pokies
how?
Pokies are evil.
No one's just going to go, oh, here you go. Here's 92 million bucks. Mm. No,
a Maroon's tax. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Keep the Queensland team strong.
I bet you people would be
get rid of pokies.
Yeah, throw in $100 a year like a Medicare levy, a Maroons levy, and a bushfire. Yeah, bushfire levies. For us to guarantee State of Origin success to keep our footballers at home, throw in some money.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
That's not going to work.
Do you want to do this?
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
I don't know what the answer is, but the question is, should we get rid of pokies in Queensland? Full stop. They're evil.
Can they be anywhere, or you just want them gone?
Casinos?
Yes,
okay, casinos.
Casinos, okay. Yeah, because you go in there. But if you go into a pub or a sporting club, like you own a sporting club and then people's addiction will grab them, we're stealing money off. It seems to be the people who can least, most financially illiterate, who least afford to lose money, go and play the pokies, and they also durry and they also drink.
Well, Ken,
the government's getting them.
Ken of Kalanga has a theory about this. Hello, yeah. Ken.
Yeah, how are you going?
What do you reckon?
I don't remember it too, but it doesn't matter these days because the money may as well be going to some use for the smaller clubs, because if we take them away, what they're going to do is they'll get online, they'll get all these other things, and they're still spending the same amount of money. It's just easy getting the money and walking away with it. So, I mean, it's a bit like social media, isn't it? And, like, you get all these people who just jump on your phone, so if they're not going to socialise, they're not going to socialise, you can't help it.
What about if we just said, let's get them out of pubs? Like, give them to sporting clubs and do it to raise their own money, but get them out of pubs. Would you agree to that?
Yeah, well, there's like two or three or four. I think most people haven't done the math to realise they're not going to get a cent out of these places anyway. So, yeah, maybe out of some of the smaller pubs, but, you know, the bigger clubs and all that sort of thing, you know, they're going to I'll find somewhere else to win some money anyway.
Yeah, fair enough, Ken. Your phone's really
Thanks,
crappy.
Kenny.
Thank you.
Mick, lost all his money on the pokies. He's got a bad fight.
Mick of Brackenridge, what do you think about pokies? Should they be gone from pubs and clubs?
Yeah, I think so. I'm back on the weed train again, I reckon. Instead of spending $300 on pokies, just stay home, get your Uber weed delivered, get your Uber Eats, deliver your KFC and watch cartoons and just have fun, save money.
Oh, buddy.
Hey, there we go, society moving forward.
You're single, aren't you, Mick?
No, I don't think Mick is. I've heard him talk before.
She wishes I was single.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Hold me back, buddy. Thank you. Scotty of Kalanga. Hello, what do you reckon?
Guys, I reckon get rid of them. They're not doing any benefit to the pub scene of Queensland.
No.
Western Australia's done with down a few years. There's only pokies in the casinos over there.
Is that right? Explains it. Okay, I've got a stat in front of me that says New South Wales has 95,000 poker machines, whereas WA has 2,000.
So only in Burswood there, righto.
There you go.
Why can't we do that? Why do we need them? Because of the income that they provide,
yes,
and how does that get replaced?
You know the answer to your own question.
Do you feel the same way about like betting facilities for sport?
No,
keep those in
pubs. No, you need a TAB.
I like the TAB.
Oh, look,
yeah, let's
now he changes. Now the worm turns. Yeah,
that's smart betting.
It's the first yellow card for Nick Cody on this show.
Who are you
yellow-carding? Nick, yeah.
Exactly.
Goodness me.
TABs are places of intelligence and conversation.
Yeah. What was the stats?
The results,
Rob
Bailey. Yes, 70% of people want pokies banned.
Wow.
That surprises me, 70%.
Well,
that's a lot.
That means that we care about our fellow human beings.
It does.
But no one's got an
answer. Yeah. I reckon it'd be less, but those other people are at the pokies.
Stop it. Big Breakfast on Triple M.
That fight that broke
out.
Wasn't it good to get, like, now you're compiling a lot of people's different mobile phone versions, different angles of the stink, everything else.
It took five people to bring him down.
He'd had a few.
He had a few, and I didn't realise. So they had tied him down with cable ties and everything like that. Apparently they stood on him until they got there. Like, there were people standing on him, and then they hauled him off and you think, righto, I thought to myself, well, why did the hosties keep feeding him grog? Apparently they turned it off, okay?
And that was the problem.
And what did they give him? And here's the real culprit, and I never see any health warnings about this sort of things, but this is how the fight started.
Witnesses have told Nine News the man poured the soft drink Fanta onto another passenger twice, they believe, to provoke him. And that's what started the fight.
Over a can of Fanta. Like, no drunk wants to be turned off, do they? No. Go, here you go, mate. Here's your... That's not beer. But also, mate, the bloke next door, he would have had his best travel tracksuit pants
on.
Would.
And now they're all sticky and orange.
And it's on.
You know, with the budget, it was a budget airline Scoot. And already the seats are small enough on budget airlines. It said it took two restraining kits to hold the guy down.
Yeah.
So even their restraining kits are small. You know what I mean? Everything's too small on these bloody things. I got home yesterday just before lunchtime, and the amount just of suitcases and bags full of clothes that I see when I open the front door. I just
are they coming
one
or
two
going,
things.
Those bags?
I don't know. I thought either Netflix's Marie Kondo, she's been over, and she's helped my wife clear out the joint, or my wife's leaving me. I think they're the only two possibilities with the sheer amount of suitcases and stuff in the hallway. Turns out, nah, we're going to Sydney today. I've got some gigs over this week, and it's just the amount of stuff needed to travel with a baby.
Oh, is this your first time?
Yeah. No. It's four suitcases. We're going for a couple nights.
What? Why?
What is going on?
What is in those suitcases?
I've got no idea. I'm not going to open them. Oh, I just know if I was left to pack, it'd be one bag. We can get stuff there. Do you know what I mean?
You know women express if they're going to get on it, don't they? They do some pumping. One of them might be a refrigerated suitcase. Is there such a thing?
You reckon there's just a suitcase full of
milk just sloshing around? But they panic. I saw one of my nephews, because one of my sister-in-laws, they were going to Japan. They parked their car at our house last night. They're going on a first flight this morning. They had... Now, they're old. They didn't need to take many clothes.
Japan's cold. You do need to take clothes.
Yeah, but only a suitcase worth. They had four suitcases for two humans because they had all the baby stuff. So there you go again.
Well, what twice sort of baby day, stuff?
They had 62 nappies they were taking because they
can't get nappies there.
Japan is not a third world country.
They took their own bedding and towels.
Oh, dear.
And also, people panic. Why would you need nappies in Japan? The toilets shoot water up your butt.
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing? Just put the baby on there.
That's so true.
That's a bum clean / shower for an infant.
Have you checked those suitcases? Like, have you had a look?
You've
got
to have a look.
Yeah.
I really want you to see.
All the toys? Because when my wife and I would just travel together, we'd always, I leave room in my suitcase because I travel a fair bit. I know what's going to happen. Sometimes if you're overseas, you're going to pick up things. My wife, if we're leaving Australia for a few months, she's leaving with a suitcase that someone has to stand on for it to be zipped up.
I'm like her.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
But she's like, oh, I've got to buy stuff over there. Where's it going? I know where it's going. My suitcase.
Yeah.
Do you guys get surprised when you go, what? I'm overseas and there's shops. I didn't realize this is going to happen.
Can you just stop? Like, and I'm just sitting here thinking about your scenario, Nick, is that, you know, she is wanting to, so when I travel, I like to have certain outfits for certain things and I like to be prepared and I have like a lot of shoes.
Let's get into your mind here. Certain outfits for certain what?
Events and things that might happen. So I want the casual walking outfit. I want the going to dinner outfit.
Yes.
I want to be able to, if I'm in a cold country, which I've just come back from, I want multiple like jackets and stuff and layers so that it doesn't look the same in every photo every day.
Oh,
and
that's
so
important.
That I feel
for the gram.
And I'm just thinking with your wife and Charlie, like it's, you know, she's just probably just a little nervous. So she's probably got his toys. She's probably got his sleeping, has he got a sleeping bag?
No idea. Look into it.
Still doesn't know.
You'd be right.
If I see any photos of him with the same onesie on in any photos from Sydney this weekend, I am going to hold you personally responsible.
What I hate is that his suitcase is bigger than mine, but his clothes are smaller. What is happening?
Okay, thank the Lord. The kids are going back to school next Tuesday. Yours is 4 months old.
Mine aren't.
But thanks for sharing.
19 and 20 year old. mine are.
Yeah, all right.
But I see them on the street. They're looking bored as. They're all looking like they've got something up to no good, all the kids at the moment.
Well, this is exactly what I want to talk about because my kids have been off since the end of November. And and they've played so much FIFA and they've gone out with their mates so many times. We went overseas, for goodness sake. I mean, they've been had a lot of amazing things that have been going on. But this final week, I think, is really taking its toll in the boredom stakes.
That is so true, Robin, because all the parents have had to go back to work. Everyone's parents have gone back to work. And now there's kids just, they're no one at home. They're running loose.
Well, I have a 14, a 16 and an 18-year-old. And I'll tell you how bored my kids are. On Monday, they washed the dog. I don't think Raybo has ever been washed by them, ever.
That's outstanding.
They are scraping the barrel of activities.
I know, it gets better. On Tuesday, they took their grandma to lunch.
Oh, wow.
Which is wonderful, and I'm really encouraged the relationship between grandparent and grandchild.
But let me just say that. Surely Nan has to know. They are bored.
Yeah.
Did you guys not get the first week of holidays lunch?
Did you kids wash the dog yesterday? Because I'm feeling I'm the bottom of the barrel.
No, no. Today's the kinger. They are going ice skating.
Oh, ice world. Wow.
Yes.
Bradbury.
Well, you know, we happen to have an ice skating world pass floating around and I gave it to them at the start of the school holidays and but they found it.
So they've 9 weeks into the holiday, that's where ice works. Sits.
Yeah, they're going to ice world. Did you know, ice skating.
I just see the TV over the back of your head, Brenda. The ice world, all right. What do they call it?
Ice world.
Yeah, I know. There's
Acacia Ridge and Boondle.
The name, but they're advertising on TV. They know. They're onto these kids. Yeah,
Stephen Bradbury, can you just turn up? That'd make my kids awesomely happy.
Thank God. Thank God you guys explained it to me as someone who has just come to Queensland recently. When I heard the kids are going to Ice World, I thought, well, their holidays are going to fly by. Yeah. They are.
Do they know it's ice skating?
No sleep till school.
Be a bit aggressive. But
they do know it's ice skating. Right, okay. But I just figured this last week, you know, how do you know your kids are bored? What are they getting up to? Is they really scraping the bottom of the barrel?
My kid's just been chewing on his fist. He's over it. That little four-month-old. Is that enough?
Peter of Pimpamar. Hello.
How's it going, guys?
Yeah, good. How do you know your kid's bored?
Oh, they're bored because they're so bored. They turn around and say to me, well, you've got anything for me to do? So I'll give them a whole list of chores to do at home. And they do it because they're bored.
Oh, my God.
You don't have to pay them or anything.
No, I pay them. They get fed at night. That's their payment.
They're like horses.
So they're doing vacuuming tracks and windows.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Cleaned up all my life.
Have they finished? You finished with them yet, Pete? I'd love a bit of that action.
Well, I'll send them down your way, mate, but they'll probably charge like a Big Mac meal or something for them.
Righto.
Yeah, fair enough. Girls or boys, Peter?
They're boys, yeah.
Oh, that is
getting work
so
out of boys. That's
I'm
good.
I'm loving that. Thank you.
You got a theory of why they get bored, Nick?
Yeah, mate. I just remember being a kid, like when term would start, you know, say it's a 9 week term. You're like, 9 weeks, that's the longest time ever. And the older you get, time just goes quicker to us, right?
Yeah.
So they've been on holidays for what, 8 weeks
or so?
Yeah. They're just like, this unlimited fun on my parents' dime is never going to end. Just get me out of here. You know, they think they're stuck in purgatory, in fun purgatory. They're going to forget. Real quick when school starts, Monday afternoon, they're going to be like, we've made a terrible decision.
Okay, something happened to me yesterday that was so cool and I cannot wait to share it with you. It's very Triple M. Okay, so let me give some context as to what's going on in my life at the moment. So my lovely husband of 2 months, Shawnee Ronald, is in hospital and has been for a week. He's trying to sort out some medical issues. So my days consists of me doing the radio show, heading off into the Wesley, sitting with him.
Glamorous.
I know, mate. Woo.
La-di-da.
Sitting off with him for about 4 or 5 hours.
Oh,
then
God,
I
that's boring.
Head home mid-afternoon. Sorry. And my kids are 14, 16 and 18, so they're fairly self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
But I get home, sort out dinner, chuck a couple of loads of washing on, catch up with them, we'll do dinner together, and then I usually head back into the hospital.
Oh, you're nice.
I know. Well, as you know, Marto, and you would hate it, being in hospitals just suck.
I hate hospital.
They're just...
But Kathy used to phone it in. She'd never come back if I was in hospital.
Oh, really?
She'd put in a little cursory one in the arvo and then go, you okay?
Yeah, because she hated
busy,
him
we're
too.
We're busy at home. Everyone hates if you're not
I mean,
sick.
Luckily he's in his own room and that's been sort of cool. But yesterday was particularly frustrating because we've got lots of specialists that are still coming back from holidays and we're trying to get answers on certain things. And I was just in a bit of a funk. Like, I really was not in a happy place. Anyway, so I'm driving home down the Western, coming into the Western Freeway to the Western suburbs. Yeah. And at 3:09, I remember this really clearly, this song came on. And in that moment, the Triple N girl that lives within me decided that the way I was going to get over my bad mood was to rip up the volume of this song to absolute max. Now, I drive a CX-5 and that car has a great
vehicle.
Sound system, right?
Stock standard Bose.
It is. Yeah, look, I don't know what it is about that car, but it was so loud it was always almost making my ears bleed,
that's
right?
Fun.
And I am singing and like absolutely just feeling I am going to get rid of this bad mood. Anyway, cruising down the Western Freeway, I'm noticing that a couple of utes are slowing down beside me and giving me the thumbs up.
They knew what you were playing.
They could hear what I was playing. And
everyone
I wish there was I wish I could have remembered one of the companies. Because it happened three times, right?
Wow.
And the last guy wound his window down to show me that he was playing the same song.
Oh, I love that.
It was the, like, seriously, it has kept me smiling for the last 24 hours. So I just want to put in a request to our music department that at 3:10 today, can we have this?
Oh, yes.
And maybe tomorrow.
Yes, hold on.
Can we go for this one?
Oh.
Oh,
so
great, Jim.
Anthems after three. Is that what we're after?
Not bad.
Well, I'm just telling you that tradies who are going home on the Western Freeway are clearly enjoying whenever Triple M plays anthemic rock songs, and I did too.
Do you reckon all the utes, you should all synchronise and just blast the same song at the same time, see how loud it can get on the freeway?
We should do that, you know. We should do that as a thing. Mm. You could do a convoy of rock songs of tradies going home.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I loved it. It just put such a smile on my face. So there we go.
Big breakfast on Triple M.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.